Legend has it that there can be only one, but in Hollywood we all know there can be several sequels, two series, and a reboot, because today we're talking Highlander.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's guilty movie pleasure.
Shing, 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 who wants to live forever?
Yeah!
We just rehearsed that sword fight routine as much as they rehearsed their sword fighting routines for the movie,
yep.
I think,
yep.
From what I could tell
by
watching.
We know a little secret, though, as to why they're so wonky, but we'll get to that. Hey, everybody, welcome to Guilty Movie Pleasures. I'm your host, Ben Begley, and with me, as always...
I'm Jesse McIntosh.
Yeah, thanks for being here, Jesse.
Hey.
We're back.
Yeah, we did it.
We like to, like, throw our audience off where it's like, oh, is it going to happen this week?
Yes.
Oh, no, it's not.
Yes.
Just arbitrarily.
Keep them on their toes.
Keep them guessing.
You don't know what you got till it's gone.
And
that's
then,
what someone said.
And then you definitely know what you got when
and
it comes back.
And then when it's back, then you know that that's what you had and now it's there again.
Mm-hmm.
Listen,
can you put all that on a t-shirt?
Yeah.
Okay.
I sure can.
Perfect.
XLs only.
Yeah.
I spent the last 2 weeks of my life trying to get a hold of the movie Pixels.
You've been looking for that.
I've been looking for it.
You just go to Amazon and you type in Pixels.
I should have done that. I should have asked you. I should have reached out. How do I get
to
the
movie Pixels? You've just been going store to store?
Just been looking.
That's a deep cut for all you fans who
have
the Pixels running joke.
Mm-hmm.
I told you I worked with the director of Pixels, right?
No, you
did
not.
I should have brought up your obsession with seeing Pixels.
When did you work with the director of Pixels?
On that show that I signed a bunch of NDAs for that I can't tell
you. Can't talk about it?
I almost said the name on here and I would have been screwed.
Mad Men?
Yeah.
Cool.
Mad Men. The reboot of Highlander. No.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we are talking the 1986 classic swordplay fantasy film, horror film, strange accents galore. Sean Connery is an Egyptian Spaniard. Highlander!
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
For sure.
This has been hotly requested a few times for our show. And I had never seen it until now. And I have to say, I loved it for its 80s cheesy charm and its bonkers camera angles that it does. Like, it does all these strange...
Yeah.
It reminded me a little bit of, like, Darkman. Like, these strange Sam Raimi-esque tons of Steadicam movements. I just thought it was shot really cool. And there's a lot of fun, bonkers elements to this movie where I was like, what is happening? But I don't fully understand, but I don't care.
Look, this is my reaction to this movie was this is a mix of like someone really trying something,
mm-hmm.
a high concept plot idea mixed with The Room.
Yeah, it felt like that. Yeah.
Right? It was like almost they're not in on this joke, I don't think. But this is a joke, right?
Yeah. I mean,
but they clearly had an idea and wanted to do something. And like you said, the cinematography is like notable.
The battles are pretty like high scale, like big scale for that time.
Sure. The like dual timelines is pretty like modern.
Ambitious. That's, yeah. Yeah.
So I don't really know what to make of this.
I don't know either. But
it was such a strange mix of like, oh, this is interesting. And what in the world were they thinking?
Yeah.
And what is going on?
Do we have the that clip I emailed? Are we allowed to play that? I don't remember if copyright stuff gets us in trouble. Okay, I sent in an email. It's there's a specific scene. Once we get into it, I do want to just show the audience who's. Oh, okay, never mind. Well, I'll just explain it later when we get to it. Because there's one scene that's a flashback to a duel that suddenly becomes like this slapstick comedy scene out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And so it's such a mishmash of tones. I had a great time watching this, but it's ridiculous. And two of the biggest things that stick out to me before we even get into the plot are Christopher Lambert. We were talking briefly about this beforehand. I don't understand how he got cast in this, because we both read online that he could barely see without glasses. So when he's fighting in these sword fighting scenes, that's why they're so kind of hesitant and weird and like clunky, because he genuinely can't see what he's doing in these sword fight scenes.
Yeah.
And on top of that, he didn't speak English. They had to teach him all his lines because he's French. And it's like, I get if he signed a contract, because the producers were just dumbfounded when they found out he couldn't speak English. That seems like that could be like a force majeure type clause where it's like, well, our actor can't speak English and he's medically blind without his glasses.
But what happened leading up to the signing of that contract?
Did they have auditions?
Who signed him to this contract?
I'm so confused.
Knowing that he can't see and he can't speak. Those are two important elements to any movie, let alone a super physical like, I don't understand.
I've gotten screwed going into an audition having an accent that I can only sort of do on my resume.
Yeah.
Like, if I have, like, New York on there and I come in like, hey, I'm doing some New York. I'm just doing kind of like a generic New York. They're like, yeah, that's not New
York. That's not it.
That's just a Saturday Night Live version of it. Okay, cool. I could get a dialect coach for that. But teaching someone English and how to sword fight while your vision is completely blurry without glasses? And did contacts not exist in 86?
And it's not like this was Sylvester Stallone.
No.
Who, what, we,
I don't understand.
Like, we didn't know what he had done
beforehand.
He had
done a bunch of French films and the Tarzan thing.
But you're not selling a movie based on this guy.
No.
Why do you cast him?
I don't know. Because, like, even though Arnold, his accent's very thick, but, and in Hercules in New York, he barely spoke English. But then with, like, Terminator and that, they figured out ways, and he's just such a huge presence and so badass that you forgive the fact that in some of his earlier work, his acting's a little stilted because he's awesome,
right?
You know? And, like, Van Damme, his acting isn't always the best, but he can roundhouse kick like a mother, you know?
Yeah.
This guy can't even sword fight, which is the main thing for a Highlander.
It looked like a high school play production, the way they were sword fighting.
And first,
it was so embarrassing.
At first, I just thought, oh, man, it might just be because choreography was more limited back then. I'm like, no.
Uh-uh.
No. Because, like, the choreography in Princess Bride with I Am Inigo Montoya, that scene's pretty rad. And, like, there's other movies. Errol Flynn's Robin Hood has better karaoke than
karaoke.
This.
Karaoke.
You didn't know that. Errol Flynn loved karaoke.
Much better karaoke.
So, anyway, and the second thing is Sean Connery coming out, then revealing his name is Juan Ramirez.
Sure.
And then revealing he's Egyptian as well. So he's an Egyptian Spaniard that talks like Sean Connery and just wears eyeliner. What is going on?
So, yeah.
It's the best and the worst all at the same time.
It was so confusing.
And the scene where they're running on the beach and Christopher Lambert is like, ha ha ha, yeah, chasing after him and like his shirt's hanging open. I was like, is this going to become a romance? I mean, I'm fine if it does, but it definitely seems like they're leading up to a romance between Juan Ramirez and McLeod.
I'm sure that
we'll get into
of this.
Oh my God.
Sean Connery, when he came in and
so
identified himself as a Spaniard, it made me uncomfortable, first of all. But now realizing that they cast a Frenchman as I guess they just didn't care about anything. I don't understand
why not,
because it was so unimportant where Sean Connery was from.
Yeah.
Why not just make him,
Scottish or Irish?
One of those. Why not make him from Great Britain?
Especially since it all takes place in Scotland.
Sure.
Like, why not make it that?
Yeah.
Now, all that said, the actual idea of Highlander is super cool.
Yes.
Which is why it spawned so many sequels and TV shows. And I think the new reboot that the guy that did John Wick is doing will be awesome because there's room for improvement. You know, it's like rebooting Gremlins is dumb because Gremlins is a near perfect movie for me. That's
right.
Why also Jurassic Park has never gotten as good as the first one, because Jurassic Park 1 is pretty much perfect.
And like, honestly, and granted, I haven't seen it, but they should not reboot Pixels.
They shouldn't.
Because
it's
I imagine
perfect
movie. Perfect
movie.
Sorry.
So let's get into the plot in under 3 minutes, why don't we?
Let's
you want to do
best.
That? Did you have something else real quick?
Well, something that I tweeted out, and this is just like an overarching concern of mine. As I was watching, I got halfway through and I had heard several times, and going in, the only thing that I knew about Highlander is that there could only be one.
I've made that reference several times.
That's the only thing I knew about it. And halfway through the movie, I had heard that from a couple different people several times throughout the movie. And I was hoping I would get an explanation by the end, but I did not. I don't understand why there can only be one. Why can there only be one?
I know that they gain power with each person they kill.
But
it seems like, and that it's called the quickening whenever they get fewer in numbers.
Yep.
But what? Like, if I was immortal,
yep,
I would just make a pact with the other immortals. Like, yo, dog, let's just all be immortal together and hang out and be friends for life. You know, like the like Kurgan. What's his end game? He kills everybody. He's the most powerful. Then he just saunters around Earth doing what?
Don't know.
Like, everybody you love will die. So why wouldn't you want to, like... And are no females immortal? Because so far I've only seen dudes.
Yeah, I think only dudes. And up to this point, there has been more than one. So I don't understand. Like, they weren't immortal and just immediately thrown into a cage match. I guess they're
the last of a dying immortal race.
But
if you're endangered, why would you want only one?
Yeah.
It's not like we're like, hey, there's the bald eagle. There can be only one. And then they go murder all the other bald eagles.
They also weren't born of other immortals. They were born of mortal humans because he could not have a child as an immortal.
But then at the end, he can, he says in the voiceover, the end voiceover.
Is that why there can be only one? Because once there's one, you can have a child again?
And then does it all start over?
But then there are more than one. I don't know.
I just want to slam my head against the desk.
It's such an important part of the lore.
The mythology doesn't, yeah.
And I wish I knew
you wanna, why. You want to get mind effed even more? Apparently, Highlander 2, The Quickening,
yep.
It turns out that they're alien. They're an alien race that the immortals have infiltrated Earth. And more come back because he's the only one left. More aliens come back to try and kill him.
Why? You haven't seen it.
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, but I bet they don't answer that question.
I bet they don't answer.
It's an important question when you're writing a movie. Just ask yourself why. And try and write it in somewhere.
Again, before anybody who's a diehard Highlander fan gets mad, I think this movie's...
Look, we both enjoyed this movie.
I enjoyed the
we
shit
We both
out
enjoyed
of it.
This movie. I just have, like, some it's pretty...
Major questions.
Major and basic questions.
This movie had me at Queen doing the soundtrack. I was like, all right, swords... Queen, Sean Connery.
This movie had me when the guy did 20 backflips in the parking garage for no reason.
I was loving that. He's just like, man, you're just showing off.
Like,
now.
You're going to be faster if you run, man. This is not efficient.
It's also the best of how many times in sword fights they spun around and swung, which is a completely inefficient way to sword fight.
Yeah.
Because the second you turn your back, somebody could just be like, ha-ha!
Right.
You're dead!
Right.
All right. But yeah. I did it with a flourish. Let's do the plot in under 3 minutes, because there's a lot to unpack in this glorious, glorious 80s movie. Are we ready?
Yes, we are. In five,
I don't even know if I can remember.
Four, three, two, one.
How does it start?
Well, I think it starts at Madison Square Garden
with a weird wrestling match.
And he's just like sitting there for some reason,
sulking.
And then he leaves and he goes to the garage, and then he gets attacked by this guy.
The backflipper.
They sword fight, and the guy backflips, and then he cuts off his head, and he gets a lightning bolt.
Highlander lightning bolt.
Yeah,
orgasm.
And then he tries to escape, and the police are there, and the police bring him in and for questioning.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
then the police are all like rowdy with him and like making homophobic slurs and stuff, and then he punches one, and then they're like, do you have anything on me? And I'd be like, yeah, you just punched
an officer.
They're like, get out of here. He's like, all right, thanks. All right, thanks. Anyways, so then there's this girl named Brenda who's also a woman named Brenda who's also a police officer or she's like forensic science.
She's
or
forensic,
something.
But she's also a sword expert.
Super, super stoked on swords. She finds metal that leads her to find out that the sword that was used in the murder was dated 600 BC. She goes in search of him. She finds him. He's all like cagey with her. I think he fights somebody else.
Yeah, so she's at the bar, and she follows him, and then he gets in a fight with someone, and then it's like the main bad guy.
Yeah, Kurgan. Because then Kurgan comes rolling into town, and we get all these flashbacks showing him in Scotland and how he was stabbed on the battlefield but survived, and everybody's like, you're a witch, and even this woman that he loved, they want to burn him at the stake, and instead they exile him, and then he finds another woman that he falls in love with, and he meets Sean Connery, the Spaniard named Ramirez, and they start training. So that's all that stuff. Now we're back to present day.
Yep.
And that's when the police chase him away.
And then and then they're on to her because they're like, she's following this guy for some reason.
Yeah.
And then she tracks him down to his antique store.
Yep.
And there's some like super awkward chemistry, I guess, between them. And they set up this fake date, but she's trying to like get information on him, and he knows what's up.
Yeah.
And then
And then they have sex.
Yeah,
they have sex.
Do.
And then and they have sex, and then later on, and then they kind of split off, and Highlander just kind of, MacLeod just kind of disappears from major, major things. He goes and meets his friend, and they talk on the bridge for 1 second, just so they can flash back to a drunken duel that makes no sense.
Yep.
And then his friend and immediately, so the friend can die. In the next scene, gets killed.
Yeah.
And then Kurgan has another lightning bolt orgasm, and then eventually Kurgan kidnaps the Brenda, and then in this awesome scene, he's driving with her on the roof of the car, right?
Yeah, yeah, they play chicken.
They play chicken. Like, yeah. Oh, no, no, there's another, there's an old lady on the roof of the car. Mm-hmm. she's in the car seat and he's playing chicken, and then they end up fighting on top of the Silver Cup Studios or whatever, and all the letters fall down, and then they end up falling into a warehouse fighting. He cuts off his head. There can be only one, and now he apparently can have kids now.
I guess so.
And he's mortal.
I guess he's mortal. That's the prize. You get to die.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Good sound effect. I like that. So, yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff that happens in this. Wasn't there a moment with an old lady on the hood of the car?
Yeah, there sure was, when the guy tries to steal a car. So he cuts off the friend who we just met.
Yeah.
He cuts off that guy's head, and there's a big crowd, and the army guy with the gun just, like, unloads on him.
Yeah, yeah.
And then nothing happens to him, and then he's got to make an escape. So he goes, and he steals the car.
The best is the old guy's like, hey, my car! not worried about his wife.
And no one in this entire movie is like, why is there so much sword fighting?
It's the best.
No one's like, why are two people so proficient at swords and just going
one's
at
proficient.
I know, but like in the world of the movie, I mean, they're supposed to be proficient.
Even half blind MacLeod is proficient with a sword compared to most normal people.
Yeah, yeah.
I really, really, I need to research more, like, what the choice for Christopher Lambert, because he even looks, he's just like, he's a goofy looking dude, and they even commented on how his eyes cross every once in a while, probably because he's trying to focus.
He can't see.
He's literally, like, trying to focus at all points in scenes.
It truly mirrored the room to me. Like, he was such.
It was like Tommy Wiseau playing MacLeod.
It was a weird and uninspired unmotivated performance, and just random laughter and random.
His laughter made me more uneasy than any horror film I've seen in recent memory.
Very, very strange. And just like lingering on stuff. A couple of my later sound clips will hear the Happy Halloween and laugh, and then there was another laugh where they just like linger on it for maybe 10 seconds too long.
And I get the fact that he was learning English, but clearly he'd known how to laugh.
But he knows how to laugh.
Like everybody.
He knows how to laugh, and he knows how to run with another human. But for some reason,
He
looks like a baby deer, just like finally figuring it out, and just like I know how to move now, and I don't understand why he
looks like a kid that first got on the beach. And was like, sand!
Right.
His arms are flapping, and he's just so excited.
Right. He's experiencing everything in this movie that he does is his first time experiencing that thing. It's unbelievable.
Oh, but I still love this movie, everything we're saying. Let's play the intro with Sean Connery, which I actually rewound twice to be like, wait. Okay, no, I didn't miss anything. They just don't fully explain everything.
No. Nope.
From the dawn of time we came.
Okay.
Moving silently down through the centuries. Living many secret lives. Struggling to reach the time of the gathering. When the few who remain will battle to the last. No one has ever known we were among you. Until now.
Okay, but not true, because several people knew, because they were. The immortals, like, should have died, and then they didn't.
Yeah.
And this happened in front of several people, just that we saw. So I imagine they encountered a lot of people who knew.
I guess it is, you battle to the death, and then you spawn the next immortal who then spreads their seed. But then you'd all be from the same lineage.
Right. You'd all be brothers.
I don't understand.
The other thing is the gathering. Understand. The gathering.
Why do they call it the gathering and the quickening?
Well, the gathering is when they're all supposed to come together and have a big fight. Right.
The quickening is in reference to, I read this on IMDb, I'm not this smart. To labor, when the baby starts getting more, when dilation starts and the baby's about to be born, it's called the quickening, apparently, they said on IMDb.
And,
it's very confusing.
And leavening is what you put in bread. It's unrelated to this.
Yes, yes, yes.
But so the gathering, I didn't, like, they made it into some, like, everyone will for some reason be drawn to the same spot and have, like, a battle royale.
I guess so.
And it didn't really feel like that. It felt like they just all happened to be in New York. You know what I mean? Like, there was nothing calling them there. They just happened to be there.
It wasn't like a beacon, like, in Rampage with Dwayne the Rock Johnson, right, when there's the beacon bringing all the monsters.
Right, yeah, there was nothing that brought them. And then, like, I imagine that they would all be fighting each other at the same time. That's the tension I thought was being built when he was making friends with these people, is I thought that they were going to have to fight each other.
Yeah.
And then they never, it just turned out to be a bunch of, like, one-offs.
Yeah, like, because there would be something, and I don't even know how Sean Connery returns in the second one, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
If we ever watch it.
Yeah, let me know.
Okay, what do you always say? I hear good things.
Yeah, I hear good things. I hear good things about it.
So, yeah, it's so bizarre to me, though, because, like, yeah, when Sean Connery first starts training him, I'm like, what is your goal here, though? Because eventually he'll have to kill you, right?
Yeah, you should just kill him now.
But then some of them are buddies. So, like, is it just like they're biding their time until they have to be like, all right, I got to cut your head off? Seems like a tenuous relationship to have. Like, would you and I be able to have such witty banter on here if we knew at some point one of us would have to cut the other's head
only
off?
Only one witty banter.
There can be
remain.
Only one host of Guilty Movie Pleasures eventually.
Now there are none.
And it could be any time. We don't know, like.
Yeah, what I certainly wouldn't do is let you practice witty banter. I would not do that.
Yeah, like, what if we killed each other off by witty banter instead of...
Yeah, I wouldn't, I wouldn't rehearse with you.
You would win.
That's not true.
If it was...
If it was yelling... Highly contested.
If it was yelling and making annoying DJ sounds, I would win.
You for sure would
but
win
But if
that.
It was Channing Tatum impressions or witty banter, you got that.
My two skills.
my two skills.
I have exactly two of them.
So, all right, so let's... Where do we even begin with this? The first scene where he's just, I don't know why it's a wrestling match. Originally, I guess it was supposed to be an NHL hockey game, but then they wanted to focus on the violence of the hockey. So the NHL was like, no, hockey isn't violent. All right.
Well,
that's the only reason people go is for the fights.
It is.
And the wrestling match is so focused on that I thought it was going to pay off somehow.
I was actually like, the beginning of this movie got me super hyped because it looked like an actual, like, it looked like a wrestling match that was shot for TV. Like, it looked cool.
Yeah.
And I don't even watch wrestling, but I was like, oh, this is going to look cool, this movie.
It does look cool.
It does look cool. But that, like, set the stage, and that got the hooks in me right away.
I thought he was waiting because one of them was going to be the Highlander or whatever, or the Immortal.
Right.
But instead, it's just some random dude that chases him in the parking lot.
He just goes down to the garage and he has a goofy fight.
Here's the thing. If you're going to go to a wrestling match to find this other immortal, did he go to this wrestling match to find the immortal? Or did he go there to the wrestling match because he loves wrestling and then he got pissed off and was sulking the whole time because he knew he had to chop off someone's head after this and he was just trying to enjoy some wrestling?
I would lean towards the second.
Okay.
That he was just trying to, like, decompress.
He's trying to decompress.
Like, I can't. I got to kill someone later.
I got to go have a lightning orgasm. Yeah. Those really make me sleepy.
It definitely takes it out of me, for sure.
My
favorite thing, though, when he leaves, when he, like, decides that he's got to go kill the guy and he leaves the wrestling match, you can hear they looped in the background someone being like, hey, man, where are you going? Like, no one cares.
No one cares.
Nobody cares. Especially if you're in the aisle. They're like, oh, thank God.
Thank God.
I can stretch out. But no one's like keeping an eye on strangers and being like, hey, match is going on, bro.
The match is, it's not intermission, bro.
Yeah, this is really weird.
So this first fight sequence is amazing in the parking garage. There's some really great stuff in it where, like, but how are the cops not called sooner? They're hitting the sprinklers. They're hitting steam, like hot air, like steam gas lines. The cars are being all set off. It's a pretty cool sequence they have going on, and there's some stalking elements, and then he ends up cutting the guy's head off, and literally, I was like, this is a Highlander immortal orgasm is what it is. I know I keep saying that, but he raises up like, and it's just like super weird, and just this bright light comes, and all the cars start exploding, and just craziness, and it's like, that is the most destructive way to gain power.
Yeah.
It's just like, why does all that happen?
I don't know. Maybe he got the power of the cars as well.
He just gets all power around yeah. him. Any kind of electrical power.
That's why they wanted to do it in the garage.
So that happens. Then he gets arrested by the police, like we said in our 3-minute thing. The police are really rude.
Yeah.
Really not PC with some of their comments about him searching for a blowjob in the parking lot and then cutting off the man's head because he didn't want to pay. It's like, that's extreme.
That doesn't check out to me.
It doesn't check out at all. Just run away.
Yeah.
I mean,
they were on the right track with the orgasm, though. They kind of felt that vibe from him.
They felt that vibe of that after immortal orgasm
he
glow.
He was sleepy and he had to pee.
Say you win. Oh,
there can be only one.
Then he punches the cop, like we talked about, which is, I don't care if the cop's being a huge a-hole to you or not. You can't.
I wouldn't do it.
Punch a cop.
No. Mm-mm. And you and I had the same reaction when he's like, you got anything on me? It's like, well, yeah, everyone just saw you assault a police officer.
And then resist three others as they tried to hold you back from assaulting him again.
And like, even if you hadn't done that, you were like resisting arrest and escaping a crime scene. So like, they suspect you on a beheading charge. I think they're going to hold you in a jail cell for a little bit of time.
They let him go real quick.
While I figure this out. It's not just like, you don't have anything, do you? All right, I'm out of here. No,
that's not how it works.
We suspect you cut someone's head off, so you're going to stay right here with our eyes on you.
And then, for the most part, it doesn't really seem like they tail him too much. They do a little bit.
They only tail Brenda, really.
Yeah, and Brenda gets super stoked and geeked out, and we find out later that she wrote this book on metallurgy or something.
I would prefer that she just wasn't in the police. Because, like, I don't buy it that someone wrote a book on a hobby that they have when they have a full other career that they're supposed to be passionate about. And particularly not when you're, like, supposed to be forensics for modern-day weaponry and you're such an expert on ancient swords. That doesn't really... That didn't seem right
Maybe it was her thesis, you know, and then she expanded it over
Could
the
have
years.
Been, but then maybe she should have been an antique dealer. You know what I mean?
But he was an antique dealer because I assume that's the only way he can pay for things is by selling off all the old stuff from since he's been alive since 1700-something.
Yeah, but just in, like, if it had been, she would have either been a professor or an antique dealer if it were a real-life thing.
Yeah, that's she would have been like the Indiana Jones of metallurgy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all.
Not to be confused with AC/DC fans. Hey, sure. is that considered metal?
I consider it to be.
Sure.
I like R&B, so.
So, this next sound clip is in the past where we're in the 1700s in Scotland and there's this battle. And no one will fight him. And he's just sitting there watching all of his friends get murdered.
He's so sad.
And just kind of like,
He's so sad.
But instead of like saving his friends or fighting.
Or fighting.
Or starting a fight with anyone, no one will fight him because Kurgan, we find out that's his name, Clancy Brown, is gunning for him. But we don't know that at the time. We just hear this.
Nobody will fight me. The old one wins.
They don't run away.
Why do they all run away?
But he's literally, you just see several shots of his fellow soldiers getting stabbed and murdered. And he's just like, maybe jump in and go, whoa, buddy.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll save you.
What are you doing? You're not looking for a dance partner, man. Just like get in there.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
If like, I don't know, Mel Gibson in Braveheart, if he's like, Albert Gabron, he charges in and nobody fights him. So like his buddy with the big beard and the other kind of crazy Irishman gets killed. And he's like, nobody will fight me. And you're just like.
And just his horse keeps going.
You're like, wait.
And he's like crosses the threshold. Yeah,
but they're killing all your friends.
Yeah, go ahead and fight someone, man.
This is the cop. This next sound clip, we jumped around a little, is when the cop is very, very aggressive about making sure McLeod, a.k.a. Nash, is his current last name. Something like Robert Nash.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure he doesn't move.
Right.
Don't move, pal. Don't even breathe.
That's a tough ask.
I love when people say that unironically in movies.
Yeah.
Like, don't even breathe.
Are you passively killing me right now?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really, really big ask.
Yeah.
Don't move, pal. Don't. He's the most New York guy. Like, if I did that accent for an audition and said I can do New York, they'd be like, we haven't had an audition this bad since Christopher Lambert in Highlander.
Right, yeah, but how authentic did it sound next to Christopher Lambert? It's just like non-specific.
And
English.
His dialect coach apparently figured out an accent that seemed just generic, like European. But every movie I've seen Christopher Lambert in, aside from this, like Mortal Kombat, and there's a few other random ones I've seen him in, he still has this accent because I assume it's because he learned English that way. Yeah. So it like never went away.
You can spin it and say that a dialect coach decided on this, but this was how he was going to do it.
Okay.
And yeah. I think that's just because that's how he speaks English. Like that's how he learned English. And so like dialect coach or not, it would have turned out that way.
I just want to randomly laugh like that in life. I can't even do it. It's so weird.
It's very weird.
Even Tommy Wiseau laughs more authentic. Maybe not.
I think it's similarly
good doggy. So holy crap. Then Brenda's trying to figure out what's going on. She can't figure out how this sword exists. She's on a day. We skip around a little bit. He gets stabbed in the past, like we said. Mm-hmm. Everybody tries to stone him. He leaves. He falls in love with another woman. Then randomly Sean Connery just shows up on the beach, right?
Yeah, while they're in the middle of their sexy time picnic.
Yeah. What a cock blocker, right?
Like, and then he's not even like, excuse me.
He's just like,
now I'm here.
Haven't you ever seen a Spaniard before? An Egyptian Spaniard?
Yeah.
This is how we talk.
Get up and train. And he's like, well, I'm in the middle of a date, actually. Can we do this later?
They start training, but now back in the present day, Brenda's on a quest. Cut number four.
Who in the name of God was that? I called you Highlander. What did he mean? There can only be one. Only one what?
So, after watching this movie, I basically said this exact same thing. So let's just play it again. Play clip number four again, because this is my
interview. Who in the name of God was that? I called you Highlander. What did he mean? There can only be one. Only one what?
This is basically what I said. What in the name of God was that?
Yep.
They called you Highlander. What does that mean? There can only be one what?
Yes.
Is what I felt at the end of this movie.
Yeah. And I would like to just point out again, none of the questions she asked are, why were you sword fighting somebody in the middle of New York?
Yeah.
None of those questions were that. Not, who is that guy? Why does he have a sword? Why do you have a sword?
Yeah.
It's, why did he call you Highlander? Who cares?
Yeah. That's not the big thing here. I mean, maybe there can only be one after you ask the logistical questions.
Yeah, find out why. I would evaluate, am I in danger right now?
Yes.
Like, you seem a little nefarious.
Yeah.
Should I be around you?
Yeah.
You're suspected of beheading and you're carrying a sword.
How are you constantly carrying a sword? Yeah. His outfit's hilarious in this.
Yeah.
This, like, accountant's weird. It's like a
trench coat
yeah. that's tied way too tight with mom jeans and white sneakers.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good.
It's the best. And he's got bangs for days. He's got the stringy bangs. So Clancy Brown in the past, a.k.a. Kurgan, kills him, and then he survives. But if he knew he had to behead him, why didn't he just behead him in the past? Whatever.
Correct. And then why did he just leave for centuries? Why didn't he...
Yeah. I guess he find maybe this is the gathering. But we never see what lures them, so...
But he kills Sean Connery. Why can't he kill Highlander?
I don't know. And then they fight in this like kind of like shipyard, but like it looks like a train depot or something.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know. There's a bunch of abandoned stuff.
Yeah.
And then the helicopter shows off and he runs up, And then there's, God, it's hard to remember because it jumps back and forth so much.
Yeah, jumping back and forth a little bit.
Long story short, he goes in and Kurgan in the past comes to the castle and starts fighting Sean Connery. And every time he hits the stones, everything blows up, like the castle just starts falling apart.
Yeah.
Which either the structural integrity of that castle was very weak or he's getting stronger.
I mean, and incredibly, the stairs remain.
The stairs remain so that he can cut off Sean Connery's head.
The sturdiest part of that castle.
And then they never show him like approach the woman or whatever, but then we find out later he did some really awful things to her and then she just never told MacLeod, which is nuts. Like, what?
Yeah.
Why is that a necessary detail?
Yeah, it wasn't.
What's the We Are Brothers?
This is Sean Connery explaining that they're immortal.
Oh, okay. So this is prior to Sean Connery getting killed. Yeah. And this is about as much explanation that happens in this.
We are the same, MacLeod. We are brothers!
Brothers!
It's just so triumphant. I don't know why. He was just... They're not brothers, but he was so excited to be fraternal with him.
Yeah, he was real pumped. And then this is also Sean Connery, right? About telling him how he can't die.
I believe so, yeah.
And I think there's an awkward laugh in here.
I'm so
excited. Let's play this one.
You cannot die, MacLeod. Accept it. Hate you.
That is such a Tommy Wiseau
moment.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It's like, I hate you.
It's so weird.
So weird.
It doesn't, there's no, I don't understand that. That is not a response to telling somebody,
no,
you're immortal, you can't die, accept it. You'd be like, yeah, right. Or, okay, prove. I don't even know. Because already he has survived a mortal wound.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense.
And he just, like, was able to not drown.
Yeah.
Like, he fell into the water.
Yeah.
And lived underwater and for a little bit.
That's actually a really cool shot where he's sword fighting underwater.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he can really go at it because he's not worried about hurting anyone. Whereas in the other scenes when he's really fighting, you can tell. There's a hesitancy of, like,
really,
oh,
holding
God,
back.
I hope I don't accidentally kill the... That the safety concern of having somebody who's near blind without glasses with giant metal swords fighting another actor, it seems like that would be an insurance nightmare.
Yeah, I would have maybe, and I hate to keep coming back to this, cast someone else.
Maybe. this is when McCloud, a.k.a. Nash, is in... He smells a wine that's from 1783, right?
It was like a brandy, I believe.
I didn't, it was, know, some brandy sort of that liquor. Old.
Yeah.
Can you have brandy that's 400 years old?
I probably wouldn't.
Is that possible?
I don't know.
Let's play. I mean, that would be expensive brandy if it's, you know, at the time. That's expensive. It's 220 years old.
Yeah.
Maybe it can happen. Let's play.
1783 was a very good year. Mozart wrote his great mass. The Montgolfier brothers went up in their first balloon.
Ooh, I like the lights.
And England recognized the independence of the United States.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's the best. And England recognized the independence of the United States is the most, like, well-known detail of 1783.
Yeah.
For her to be like, is that right? Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So weird.
Here's the thing. I've not been alive for 400 years.
No.
If you were to ask me, name three things that happened in 2013.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I would be like...
I couldn't even tell you what won Best Picture for 2013.
I have no idea. I couldn't name a single thing that happened that I could tell you for sure happened in 2013. I could tell you generally what happened in the last 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, yeah.
But I couldn't nail it down to a single year. And the fact that he... an immortal 500-year-old man can nail down a specific year over 200 years ago, I think, is remarkable.
Yeah.
And should be applauded.
203 years, sorry. It was 1783. Yeah. It's 1986.
They should have made a bigger deal about it in the movie. His memory.
Yeah.
Because that's incredible.
He's got a memory like an elephant has memory.
Yeah.
A long memory,
that's
right?
The one, yeah.
That's the one.
They never forget.
There could be only one because they remember everything. then there's... there's this awesome sequence where right after... Okay, we got to unpack this one little moment because, oh man, we're running out of time.
Yeah,
we started a little late. Okay, so here. He meets up with his friend who you think is going to, like, fight with him in the end or something. They seem like buddy-buddy, like Carl Weathers and like Apollo Creed and Rocky. You're like, oh, this is going to be great. And then they flash back to this drunken fight, this duel where apparently he called this guy's wife something really distasteful. And the guy just keeps stabbing him, and he gets up, and he's like, ha-ha, okay, one more. And he keeps stabbing him, and eventually apologizes and walks off, and then the guy's assistant runs off, and the Duke or whatever shoots his assistant.
Well, and his assistant is, like, trying to make out with him every single time.
It doesn't make any
sense. It's so weird.
It literally goes into, like, slapstick Monty Python here, where I'm like, this is intentionally super ridiculous.
Yeah.
How come the rest of the movie isn't so... You know what I mean?
Right, like, yeah. Yeah, it was a strange departure.
Yeah, and then it goes back, and immediately Apollo Creed Highlander gets killed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They're, like, fighting. It's, like, cut back to now he's fighting for his life.
Yeah, and why Clancy Brown is able to find them, I guess they sense each other. I don't know. They have spider sense for each other.
Sure.
But this Marine drives up and has just a fully, like, a machine gun in his trunk. Or in his passenger seat,
yeah.
Starts unloading on Kurgan. Then he gets stabbed and lifted up in the air and tossed, and he survives.
And is okay.
That's insane.
Not like lifted and held and, like, twisted.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
already you're stabbed through your stomach.
Yes.
So several vital organs.
You need those.
And then you're lifted up by it. Chances are it tears even more.
Yeah.
And then you're tossed across the alley. There's concussions. There's bleeding out. You're dead.
Yeah, you're going to die if you go through that.
And the sword was like three. It was like this big of a hole in your body that twists.
Yeah.
Dead. Yeah. Maybe that Marine is a Highlander and we don't know.
Listen.
This was he just found out.
Yeah. There might be only two.
There might be only two. There can be only two.
There can be only two.
So this is him in the hospital room lamenting, kind of like the guy in Tremors.
Yeah.
Lamenting that he was all prepared, but not for this.
Got me a 357. Got me a truckload of shotguns. Three big bore battle rifles. An ammo out the ass. And I ain't safe. I can't protect myself.
It seems like maybe people should be afraid of you.
Yeah, also, and I hate to be the one to bring this up, man, but you walked in on the fight. Yeah. No one started a fight with you.
Nope.
No one was trying, like, you were just in the battle. You were doing what Highlander should have done, which is look for someone to fight.
Yeah.
You're not protecting yourself. You were just unloading on a stranger.
You just were like, all right, I got the hero complex. I got guns.
Yeah, you decided which one of those was the bad guy.
Yeah. Okay, Rambo.
Yeah.
All right, chill out.
Yeah, you had no context for that fight, and you just shot one of them.
Yeah, I mean, you did see the other get his head cut off.
Yeah, but maybe that was the bad guy his head cut off. Yeah. You don't know. Yeah.
How do we know who the bad guy with the sword is or the good guy with
you
the
gotta
sword?
You got to ask questions.
You got to ask the questions.
Yeah.
So then Kurgan apparently... Oh, we forgot to mention that there's this one rule that on holy ground, Highlanders can't fight each other. Why? We don't know. Because are they angels? Are they tied to God somehow? Or the devil? Who knows? But there's this... Kurgan comes in and he's super rude to all the nuns. Mm-hmm. And he's a creeper and he's being a giant jerk. And he shaved his head in a really weird way because the Marine gave him they made a sketch off of the Marine's description and it's in the newspapers now. And so now he just looks even more conspicuous and awesome. Don't get me wrong. Clancy Brown is awesome in this movie.
He has paper clips in his...
He has paper clips in his neck that was slit by Sean Connery back in the day. So can we play clip number 9?
Happy Halloween, ladies.
Yep, that happened.
Way too long.
So the entire time that what he's doing is flicking his tongue at nuns as he's making that noise. Yeah. So it goes on for an uncomfortably long time.
More than I was comfortable with, for sure. Yeah.
But then, so they end up, Brenda gets kidnapped. There's this amazing sequence where he steals the car. He throws this old dude out and then steals the car. And then the woman's on the hood, right?
The woman's on
the
hood.
How does she get on the hood?
That is unclear. He throws the guy out, and then he's in the car with the woman, and then somehow the woman ends up on the hood.
Yeah, and he's just driving around with her and flings her off, and then he picks up Brenda, and he kidnaps her, and then he's slamming into people and playing chicken.
Yeah.
And it's this really rad sequence.
I know we're running
out
of time.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the movie is when Highlander tells Brenda, I'm immortal, and he makes her stab him, and then he lives, and then she's like, hell yeah. And then they start making out. That's so weird. That's so weird.
They just start boning for no reason. It's like, I've always wanted to meet an immortal.
Like, what?
I don't know. Because it was the 80s, and they just had to throw in boobs somewhere in a sex scene.
Yeah.
So then they have this... I thought the fight scene at the end was pretty rad, because it's the Silver... I think it's Silver Cup Studios. And they set it up where they're, like, hacking away at the letters and then the water tower. So there's this amazing shot where the water tower and all the letters start falling one by one as they're fighting. And I think it was stuntmen doing it because the fight scenes were more elaborate and cool.
It was dark, so.
And it just looks super rad. And Brenda's tied up and she falls and she ends up saving herself, which was cool, instead of having Highlander save her.
Yeah.
And then they crash through to this empty warehouse and they're fighting each other there. And it goes back to a little more awkward sword play because it's dark. So you guarantee if you have blurry vision without glasses and it's pitch dark in this empty warehouse, he had to have a really hard time.
You're just swinging at sounds at that point.
Yeah. And he's just hoping for sonar.
Yeah.
So then he ends up killing Clancy Brown, cutting off his head, having another lightning orgasm. And then he says this.
There can be only one.
And then we have a voiceover that apparently now he can have kids.
I don't really know.
And then he's hanging out with Brenda, and he's cool.
I tried to follow, because throughout the whole thing, they're like, if you're the last one, you get the prize.
The prize.
Which drove me nuts, because I was like, no one knows what the prize is.
And I guess I still don't know.
I guess the prize is now you can die. That's what it seems like.
But then in two, he's immortal still.
So I don't know. I don't know what the prize. Maybe the prize is
this
you can
movie
have kids.
Leaves you with more questions than answers.
Many more questions.
So if I wish at the end of this I could say that out of all the questions I have, there can only be one. But it.
There can be only one.
But instead, there can be only several.
Only many.
But hey, whatever. Like I said, this movie was a blast and ridiculous, and I laughed my ass off so many times, and I'm actually kind of stoked. Please, viewers watching this or listeners, let me know if any of the other Highlander movies are worth watching, because I'm kind of interested. And also let us know what you think of the reboot coming out with the John Wick director. Until next time, where can they see you, Jesse?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Too Much Jesse, and for sketch at The Prom Losers.
You can find me at The Ben Begley on Twitter and Instagram. And this quirky little short that I've said a couple times, if you haven't checked it out, it's on Vimeo. It's called Rubes, R-U-B-E-S. Check it out. I play a gleeful psychopath in it. Until next time, there can be only one guilty movie pleasures.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.